My name is Frank Rice, and I'm a truly grateful recovering alcoholic. You know, first of all, let me say, it's an honor and a privilege to be with the Douglasville group tonight. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here with our people that are celebrating these birthdays. Birthdays are mighty special to all of us in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know that Frank Rice has got anything that I can say that I hadn't already heard before from you people, the God of my understanding, and the message that comes out of our books right up front here, Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 and 12. And I do know one thing that I learned this past April at the General Service Conference in New York. I was asked to be a speaker at the Sunday night banquet. And at that banquet was delegates from the 91 different areas in the U.S. and Canada, their wives and husbands, families. At that banquet was the board of directors of AAWS, the trustees of the U.S. and Canada, and there was a special lady there that night by the name of Lois Wilson. And I learned something very special that night because, you know, anytime we're asked to share our experience, strength, and hope, I know that the bottom line is going to help Frankie. I know that because you people told me that when I got here. But I guess one of the biggest lessons I got out of that, and I had my Al-Anon, my present wife, Sherry. I've started saying present here lately because she's not acting like she should. And I would think that would make her nervous, and it don't really make her, she don't even smile when I say that. And that's okay too. But I learned out of that I can tell you what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like right now, and I can do it in 10 minutes. And that's how long they gave me to do it, and I did good for 10 minutes. And I think that's a tremendous message to go to any speakers that might be in the room tonight when we got to do this. We don't have to take an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's just not necessary. But it was quite an experience. And the theme of that conference was Golden Moments of Reflection. And it gave Frank Rice, sick drunk, off Stewart Avenue, a chance to look back at Frank Rice. And not so much at where I come from off Stewart Avenue, but look back at Frank Rice when I stumbled in the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time. And that was October 18, 1971. And I've been with you ever since. And I'm one of those drunks that hadn't found it necessary to go back out and take a drink. And I'm grateful that that didn't happen to Frankie. But at the same time, I know I'm in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a day-at-a-time trip. And I know if that brother or sister of mine falls, Frank Rice don't disown that person. Frank Rice tries to rescue that person and help any way I can. And that's the message that you people gave me. And that's the way I try to live my life today, one day at a time. Sobriety has not always been a paved four-lane highway straight up. People, as you travel that road of sobriety, there's potholes out there. And sometimes you're going to hit them. Or at least Frankie did. And through the adversities, it's been through adversity that Frank Rice feels like he's been able to grow. And I'm a better man today as a result of I learned from that. I also know that no one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We don't have saints. But what we have is a willingness to try. We try to change and find a better way of life than the life we have. And I was at the Clayton House last Wednesday night, and a friend of mine and a friend of all y'all, I'm sure most of you know him, Dr. Doug Tobin, And I don't believe I broke his anonymity, because I don't feel like we have no anonymity within this fellowship. Bob told me that, or I read that. But Doug said something there at the Clayton House that I think that I could probably say here tonight. There's a lot of people in this room that I've known and loved for a long time. And then there's some friends that I've just met here tonight. And Doug started his lead off at the Clayton House Wednesday night by saying he had some real mixed feelings about being here. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, I think I feel a little bit like Elizabeth Taylor's seventh husband. And I laughed at that, and I wondered what he meant by that, but that's what he said he felt like, and I said, that's different. And he said, the reason I feel that way, he said, I think I know what I'm supposed to do, but I just don't know whether I can make it interesting. And I knew what he was saying then. So we got back in touch. But I know here tonight at the Douglasville group that Frank Rice is to tell you in a little bit what he used to be like, what happened, and what it's like right now. And Douglas County, people, is a mighty special place, this drunk. Some of you know it, and some of you hadn't been told yet. But the man I love, the man I worship, the man that meant more to me than any man I ever knew on this earth, was born right here in Douglas County. His name was Edgar D. Rice. That was my father. And my dad was my crutch, and my dad was my enabler. And my dad almost loved Frankie to death. And I know that today, and I've known that for several 24 hours. I also know that my mom was born right down the road from here in a place called Carrollton. And when their mom and dad would take the boys, Richard and Frankie, I got a younger brother named Richard. And I like to let everybody know he is my younger brother because he looks much older than me. But he's not. He's 5 years my junior. But when Mom and Dad would take the boys to the country, if we were going to Carrollton, by the time we got into Douglas County, Mom would say, hold your nose, we're in Douglasville. And I remember that like she said it last night. And we'd keep on going to Carrollton, and when we'd get to Carrollton, Dad would say, hold your nose, we're in Carroll County. And we played that game for a lot of years. But my dad was a good man. My dad, people, was an alcoholic. Yet didn't know he was an alcoholic. And I grew up as a kid, as a young man, watching my daddy do all the things alcoholics do, not knowing my daddy was an alcoholic. My daddy was about 140 pounds, that was about dad's height. Weight. But Dad, when he drank liquor, Dad was a mean drunk. He was a mean drunk, and Dad would do mean things around the house. And my dad didn't make much money as I was a kid growing up. But when I'm about 10, 11 years old, my dad's about almost 50 years old, and Dad started making big dollars building and selling houses. And he built us a fine brick home out in East Atlanta. He had a brick office out in the back. And my daddy was somebody. My daddy was a Mason, 32nd degree, York Rite and Scottish Rite. My daddy was a Shriner. My daddy coached these Masons going and taking them into the shrine. And my daddy knew every judge, and my daddy knew all the lawyers in DeKalb County. And every time Frank Rice got in trouble, Daddy would take care of it. I didn't really worry about the law because my daddy, he knew the law. He knew the judges, and they took care of W.D. Folks. And that's how I grew up. That's the attitude I had as a kid growing up. When I was 16 years old, I was given the keys to a brand-new red and white Ford convertible. When I was 17, I graduated from Roosevelt High School and got married to my high school sweetheart. And we were married for 3 years. And my daddy gave me everything that dollars and cents could give a boy. My daddy paid my way out of jail. My daddy gave me all the money I could ever want. My daddy gave me a brick home on South Columbia Drive right off Glenwood Road in DeKalb County. And I was driving a red 59 Pontiac, straight shift, 3 2-barrel carburetor. Dual exhaust, it was bad, people. I mean, it would run. Yeah. My boy's got one now that I'm sure that Pontiac would never run like that boy of mine's car run now, but it'd run good back in. And we used to idle through the varsity. Varsity was downtown Atlanta. And I could have told you I knew what was going on. I could also told you at that point in my life my daddy was a drunk. I didn't know my daddy was an alcoholic. You see, because alcoholics were skid row bums that laid in the gutter and begged for wine. And that wasn't W.D. Rice. Daddy never laid in the gutter, and daddy never begged for nothing. My daddy was his own man. And my daddy made things happen. He was a big shot. He had the money, and he knew the right people, and he didn't take no crap off nobody. And that's kind of how Frankie grew up. And when you like Frank Rice, you start moving in the fast lane, I think, pretty early. And people, that's when I started running into trouble, when I got to the fast lane. By this time I'm divorced from wife number one after 3 years. And I'm about ready to get married to wife number two. And my present wife, Sherry, is sitting there saying, if I'm going to just a look, that's all it has to be, is just a look. But if I start talking about wives, she's going to tell me I don't need to say all that either. So I probably ought to just move on with the wives. I don't want to get too hung up on wives. But I'm a guy that always, I just enjoyed pretty women. And I don't know that that's alcoholism. Hell, I think anybody enjoys a pretty woman. You know, pretty women are nice women. And I don't think alcoholics get credit for just liking the pretty girls. But this alcoholic did. He liked pretty women. I liked fast cars. And matter of fact, they used to say it was wine, women, and song. And since Alcoholics Anonymous, I tell you, it's Mr. Cal, same old gal, and sing along with Mitch. Now, I done moved through them wives. I did that good, Bob. You see how I got through them? And then come number three wife. I married a preacher's daughter the second time. The second wife was a preacher's daughter, because my mama said a decent woman wouldn't have nothing to do with me no more. And, yeah, how much more decent can you be than to marry the preacher does? And so that marriage lasted about a year and a half. And 6 months of that time, I was out at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, fighting Indians. And drinking the liquor and telling the lies. But anyway, I come back and I go to work at Orange, Illinois Glass. And that's where I met the lady I'm married to today. And I love her an awful lot. Her name's Sherry. And Sherry and I, we hadn't always agreed on everything. Matter of fact, I don't think we never agreed on everything. But it's probably better today than it used to be. It certainly is better today than it used to be. I know that. But Sherry was working at Orange, Illinois Glass, and she was one of them women that you Al-Anons can really appreciate. When Sherry Rice made her first Al-Anon meeting, she was 21 years old. She wore blue jeans that were too tight. She was a platinum blonde. And she was coming back there to find out what you other people did with them drunks she was married to. And you know what y'all did? Y'all told her she was sick and now what? And I've loved Al-Anons ever since. I really have. I recognize immediately the wisdom that comes out of the Al-Anon group. And I don't poke much fun at Al-Anons. Al-Anons are very special people in Frankie's life. You see, at my home group on Thursday night, we have a closed discussion meeting up front. And in the back there, we'd pull the curtains to, and the Al-Anons have envy. And they got a lot of Al-Anons at the College Park Al-Anon group. Some of them are men, some ladies. Contrary to popular belief, you don't have to be just a woman to be an Al-Anon. Men can be Al-Anons, too. But those people are back there working on those 12 steps of Al-Anon. And they're back there not because they're afraid they're going to take another drink. They're back there because them 12 steps of Al-Anon have showed them another direction in their life. They're making themselves better people by the practice of those principles in Al-Anon and those steps. And I'm sitting up there in my meeting, and I'm there because I'm an alcoholic. I'm there as a direct result of you people in this God-given program. And the message I take out of there above all other messages is I don't drink today. I just don't got to drink today. I've been given that freedom. I found that freedom. I know about the promises that we read in that. And it's all as a direct result is I don't drink. I go to meetings and I try to practice the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous the best I can. One day at a time. But you see, I'm in my meeting because I'm an alcoholic and I got no choice, people. Those Al-Anons are in those meetings because they love us alcoholics. And they want a chance to find a way that they can live with us. Their life does not depend on it. But my life does depend on mine, but I'm in this God-given program. And that's why I tell you tonight that Al-Anons are very, very special people. I don't know of any AAs that I've ever met that has got the quality that a good Al-Anon will have. And with that, I'm saying the love and the forgiveness and the understanding that a good Al-Anon will give that alcoholic. And you know, all I ask you to do, you that are alcoholics, just take and switch roles in your head. Switch a role. And if Frank Rice and Sherry Rice would have had to switch roles, it wouldn't have done Sherry much good to go to AA and me go to Al-Anon. I just didn't have that quality then. Didn't have it then. And I guess what I'm saying, people, I don't have it today. I couldn't handle it. But the Al-Anons got it, and I'm very grateful for them. And I love them to death, and the College Park Al-Anon group's going to celebrate their 17th anniversary, September the 17th, 14th. Now, I won't guarantee you, John, you heard me get that plug in. I'm working my way out of that hole, but it is special. Al-Anons are very special, and I love them an awful lot. But Frank Rice was one of those alcoholics. And when I got to you people, I had more money tied up in lawyers and wedding rings than most men had in real estate. I'd been beat on more times than I choose to really think about. You see, I'm a 140-pound weakling myself standing here talking to you tonight. But I can drink a pint of liquor, people, and I think I'm 300 pounds. I'm Tarzan, all the women are Jane, and the old men's a cheetah. And that's the way I acted when I drank liquor. I don't know why that is. They'll tell you it's some kind of chemical unbalance in Frankie's life. They give you all kind of reasons. And, you know, people, I really don't care what the reasons are. The thing that's important to me as I stand here tonight and talk to you is the fact that I know I'm an alcoholic. I'm 100% admit and accept the fact that I'm an alcoholic and I can't drink alcohol. That was Frankie's problem. And since that time, October 8, 1971, my life has gotten better. I've met friends that I never thought I'd ever meet. I've gone places I never thought I'd get to go. And I've done things that I never dreamed I'd ever get to do. And it's all because I'm a member of this God-given program and active in the fellowship called Alcoholics Anonymous. Coming up next month, September the 20th and 21st, we'll have a Georgia State Assembly in Macon, Georgia. That assembly started almost 20 years ago in May of 1966. It was 20 years old. It'll be 20 years old in May of next month, year. And down there at the Macon Hilton in Macon, Georgia, we'll have the largest assembly that this state has ever had. You'll have DCMs from all over the state, 100% attendance. Matter of fact, we got a couple of DCMs here tonight, Bill and Henry.
Yeah.
Both of them are standing for delegates, and we'll be electing a new state delegate there this time. And Frank Rice is really looking forward to that. I've enjoyed the 2 years as delegate of Area 16. We're known and loved throughout the southeastern region. We're known and loved throughout the northeast. And they know about us all over the country and into Canada. You see, we got something special down here, Pete. And I choose to call that something special that God of my understanding, who's in this room here tonight and works through you people. You know, we don't soft pedal to higher power in Alcoholics Anonymous. We know that there is one who has all power, and that one is God. May you find him now. This is what we know, we believe, and we see. And where do we see it, people? We see it in the room just like we're here tonight. It's right here in the Now Club. It's a free-flowing spirit that comes through and out and in all our hearts. And we know that what we're doing here is real tonight. Somebody said a while ago, the Now Club's got, boy, they're really located good. Said we got a jail on one side, we got a graveyard on the other, and they best get here now. And I said, yeah, I guess that made a lot of sense. And then we asked the question, wonder what now stands for. And then one of my friends said, it must be never on Wednesday. I said, no, don't think so. And then another one of my friends said, yeah, it's got to be there's no other way. And I said, I like that. And what now stands for, I really don't know either. I'll find out before I leave here tonight. But I like there's no other way. This is the way. We are the way, the truth, and the life. But as I started out with you people, Frank Rice come here sick. I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I said I was. Because you people, hell, what you going to do? You're sitting in a room with 25, 30 people, and everybody says they're alcoholic. And none of them look like that. There's not a person in this room here tonight. And I always watch when I go to meetings because I'm looking for one that looks like an alcoholic. You just don't see that many of them. One night I did at Fayetteville. Saw one there at Fayetteville, and he had some doubt about whether he was. And I said, scratch that, brother. You definitely in. Because y'all know what one of them real people look like. But they don't really look like what's sitting around the room here tonight, Trent. They just, the real alcoholic, they're a little bit nervous, they're a little bit scared, and they shake quite a bit. And that was the way I was when I got here. But I was introduced to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I met some people as I traveled this road of sobriety. Two of them that are very special in my life are sitting here this evening. That's Henry and James. Henry is known by all as a turkey, and I sponsored the turkey, and the reason he's a turkey, you tell him everything he needs to know today, and he gets up tomorrow and don't know where he's at. And they say turkeys are a lot like that. They forget everything you tell them on Monday, and you got to go all over and do it again on Tuesday. But maybe Dr. Bob and Bill realized they were dealing with a bunch of turkeys. Because as I read that book, Alcoholics Anonymous, as I read out 12 and 12, I find in that a lot of repetition. They say it over and over and over again. They've never changed one word in how it works since I got here. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. They say that every time I go, they read that same thing. And I think that's for a reason, John. They just want us to know what we're supposed to do. And then they talk about the half measures. Half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point. And this is when we asked his protection and care with complete abandon. I remember when Frank Rice did that. Frank Rice was almost a year sober. I was almost a year sober. And Sherry and I had my father. He was living downtown at the Jefferson Hotel. And Dad come out to the house to have supper with us that evening. Him and Mom had done separated. Mom had moved in with me. And she was helping me and Sherry with our son Dean, taking care of him while we worked. And we had bought that brick home out there in Pointer Ridge Subdivision, and we was proud of that piece. That's the first thing that I had ever done myself. And I can't even take credit for that because my wife was very instrumental in us getting that home. Together, we were working together, and we got our home. And my daddy, that big shot I told you about, he's down at the Justin Hotel in downtown Atlanta. He's living on Skid Row, people. My daddy was an alcoholic that didn't know he had a drinking problem. And if you told him he did, you'd fight him too. My daddy didn't want to hear stuff like that. Daddy was just a guy that had a lot of bad luck. And Frankie was just like him. I was just a guy that had a lot of bad luck. But anyway, we bought our home, and I'm almost a year sober. Sherry's going to Al-Anon. I don't think she was getting nothing out of her. And she knows I feel that way. But the reason I mostly feel that way is because she told me that she hit her bottom. And I've got this on tape. It's on tape. She was speaking, so she can't take me to court and say, you lied. It's true. You know, be careful what you say, people. You got Bob Polk around because it comes out on tape. And then you got to deny it and say, no, I didn't do it. And they said, well, you said it. But Sherry said she hit her bottom in Alabama the night I celebrated my first birthday in Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said the reason that happened was because Frank Wright had found something in his life that I could stay sober for. I couldn't get sober for Sherry. I promised her many, many times I'd never drink again. And really meant it, people. But I couldn't do it yet. But I got to you, people. And y'all introduced me to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and to a loving and forgiving God. And let me talk about that loving, forgiving God just a second. I don't want to forget this, because this is special, people. I had heard about God. I had read in the Bible about God. I'd been to Sunday school and church and listened to the preacher talk about God. But the God of my understanding back then has changed from where I was to where I'm at right now. Because I met you, people. I started reading my textbooks. I started trying to work this program called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I started asking that power, that higher power. Y'all, that's who y'all, you choose to call him a higher power. And then 99% of you say, it's my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And so that's how it started out. And I listen, people, every time you talk. But this higher power that you people led me to, whom I choose to call God today, is the one with all the power, just like it says in How It Works. But my most important thing I can tell you here tonight, if you're new, or if you've been here many 24 hours, my higher power is a loving and forgiving Father. He's always there and he's always listening. And he never leaves you. He'll never leave you. I know this. He's never left Frankie. There's been times that I think Frankie probably walked out on him. But the only way he comes into Frank Rice's life is when I say, Father, please come home. Please come in, and I'll open that heart, and I'll let that power come into my life. And that power flows, like I said, through each and every one of our lives and hearts, and he's in our soul. And I'm not a Baptist preacher, but at the same time, I believe and love that one with all the power. And I think that's what makes this whole program fall together. It comes together. You see, Bill and Bob were a couple of drunks. And Bill and Bob would have never, ever been able to put together what they just seen Bill saw at the International Convention up there in Montreal, Canada, back in July. 57 countries marching onto the field. Alcoholics Anonymous in 57 countries, people. And the message of the one who has all the power being carried all over the world. You see, Alcoholics Anonymous is just not the NOW group here in Douglasville. Nor is it just the General or State Assembly in Macon, Georgia. Alcoholics Anonymous is alive and well all over this world. And the 12 steps are exactly the same as they are here tonight, as they are anywhere you want to go. It's the same program, people. People are a little different, maybe, but the program is identical, and it's real. And what does it tell us, people? It tells us there's a better road ahead. And I come to believe that, and I've believed that now for several 24 hours. I started traveling that road of sobriety, and the first birthday I had, I thought my dad would be there. But my daddy spent a Saturday with me or a Sunday with me and then went home. And I made some amends to a man that I loved an awful lot. And then I took my man back to his mansion down on Pryor Street, the Justin Hotel. And that man went home that night. I lost my father that night. And I believe the one who had all the power took my dad home that night. My dad died. Not knowing he was an alcoholic. And my dad went on to wherever home is right now. But I know the peace that I got because I was given the last day that man lived on the face of this earth. I was given a chance to make some amends to a man I love so much. And at that funeral there in East Point at Carmichael's funeral home, my brother and I, we talked about reckoning he'd about be at Daddy's funeral. Because that big shot, you see, with the Masons and the Shrines and all the big shots he knew, as Daddy started falling down with his drinking, him going down and down and down, the big shots left. They didn't need Daddy no more. And I think a paradox of that is in this God-given program called Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I know within a shadow of a doubt, if Frank Rice falls, I know that you people won't run from Frankie. I know that you people are always there to help Frankie, if I'm willing to want help. And there's a message there, people, that everybody don't have. We know that we live in a 24-hour program, one day at a time. And we do the best we can today. As how it works is read, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. At Carmichael's funeral home, when that wedding took, our funeral took place, the place was crowded. Standing room only. And with all those people there, I didn't see one big shot. I didn't see the president or chairman of the board of the Atlanta Federal. I didn't see the Trust Company of Georgia Bank president. These were personal friends of my daddy, but they didn't make Dad's funeral. But you know who were there, people? Alcoholics Anonymous was there. Al-Anon was there. People that loved Sherry and Frankie were there. And that's the message you people gave me then. And from that point to tonight, Frank Rice become a truly grateful, recovering alcoholic. And I started traveling this road to happy destiny. A lot of things have happened since then. This is important too. If you meet anybody that tells you they've completed those first 12 steps, watch them, people, because they're going to lie to you about something else too. There's no way in the world you'll ever complete those first 12 steps. I think you can get pretty comfortable with steps 1 through 9, and I hope you do. But friends, you'll work the rest of your life working steps 10, 11, and 12. I just don't know how you complete that step, those steps. And that's just the way Frank Rice is, and that's where I'm at, and that's the way I feel. In 78, I was active in service work, and my wife found out she was pregnant. She's writing a book, ladies, on Planned Parenthood. She's got a 21-year-old son, and we have a 7-year-old daughter. And Mandy is Frankie's wife. That's the greatest gift God sent Frank Rice, next to sobriety. And Mandy, if she was standing here tonight at 7 years old, I could show her my medallion, and I could show her her picture, and I'd say, Mandy, which comes first? And she'd let you know sobriety had to come first. Because without sobriety, Mandy Rice would have never got here. And I'm grateful for that power that allowed that to happen. In September of 84, Frank Rice had been running. Frank Rice had done a lot of traveling. Frank Rice was a delegate of Area 16, state of Georgia. And Frankie was very active in service work. And I was very active at my employment at Owens Illinois Glass. And in September, I fell, and I broke my hip. I got 3 pins in my hip right now. And the doctor done a pretty good job of that hip, I think. At least it doesn't hurt like it used to. And I'm grateful for that. But that was in September of 84, the 5th of September. In October of 84, my mom was taken out of the Carroll County Convalescent Home and put in Tanner's Memorial Hospital at about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And Sherry got Frankie in his wheelchair and helped Frankie get in the car. And the doctor suggested we get there as quick as we could. And we drove to Carrollton, Georgia, to Tanner's Hospital. And I got to hold the lady I loved hand, and I told her I loved her so much. And it was that night that God called her home. And people, there's something else to be said about that, too. Because, you see, that was Frankie right there, right where I wanted to be with my mama. And my mama, the one thing she could tell you, she does not understand you people in Alcoholics Anonymous that well. She used to go to a lot of meetings with her. But mama, to talk to her one-on-one, would tell you, Oral Roberts got me sober. Oral Roberts, she wrote them prayer request to Oral Roberts, and he prayed for me every day, I guess. And I used to get a little bit upset about that. And then I read where I quit fighting anything or anybody. I live and let live. And I give Mom the right to be. And you know, tonight here, people, I can tell you that it's not that unheard of that maybe Oral Roberts did offer a prayer that Frank Rice found a program called Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't say he did, nor would I say he didn't no more. But that's what Mom felt. But the most important thing is she knew that her boy had been sober almost 14 years when she went home. And what kind of price tag, people, can you put on that? That was that boy that she worried so damn much about. The guy that was doing just like her husband, W.D. did. And he would found sobriety in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, and he was sober. And no money in the world can ever, ever repay that. So that was a special time. That was a special time. And once again, through adversity we grow. And you people were there. And I don't ever want to forget that. You people were there. The love and prayers were there. Coming up next month in Macon, we'll be electing our next delegate to the state of Georgia. And I am truly looking forward to that happening. It's been two of the fastest years that I guess I've ever spent. But you see, people, we deal with a disease called alcoholism. And we stay sober a day at a time. And I know that there's no way in the world Frank Rice has arrived. I used to say there wasn't no graduation day in this program. And I'll submit to you tonight that I was wrong about that, too. Larry and Ethel Sullivan, two people that's done gone on to that big meeting. I was over in Jonesboro, and Ethel had been called home. And I went over there to pay my respects to Ethel and let Larry know I loved her. And Larry Sullivan was a very special man in my life. And I went in the funeral home and I hugged Larry and I said, you know, we all loved her, Larry. She was a special lady. He said, Frank, and he said, I know you did. And he said, I've heard you speak many times. And said, Frank, you always say there's no such thing as graduation day in Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, that's right, Larry, I don't think they are. He said, well, Frank, he had his arm around me. He said, I want you to walk over here with me to the casket. And I want you to see Ethel. She's at graduation day. And so my idea of graduation day changed tremendously that day. And I do believe it's a graduation day, and that's when my friend upstairs called us home. And the only thing Frank has got to do when that time comes is just be ready. And I know that as long as I walk with you people, and I work the program called Alcoholics Anonymous, as I understand it, and steps 10, 11, 12, that's Frankie's program today, people, because in step 10, I continue to take that personal inventory. And when I'm wrong, I can look at you and say, hey, John, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I don't have to be right all the time no more. And I can tell you when I'm wrong and be comfortable with that. Step 11 said I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, as I understand it. The God of my understanding is a loving and forgiving Father, people. And he loves and will forgive us all if we sincerely and honestly ask for it. But step 11 says praying only for knowledge of his will. And the power to carry that out. Not Frankie's will, the higher power's will. And the hooker, people, to the whole program of Alcoholics Anonymous for me, and believe me, this is Frankie's opinion, but the hooker to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is in step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and I've had that spiritual awakening as a direct result of the first 9 steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics. That's what I'm doing here tonight. But to hooker people, it's when we practice these principles in all our affairs. Not just how good are we here tonight at the Now Club. Anybody can eat the delicious food that was given here tonight. Anybody can enjoy the desserts that was given to us tonight. And we can hug the ladies and hug the guys and just a whole lot of love and feeling good and doing good. But you know when the program really starts working? When we walk out the doors of the Now Group tonight. And we start trying to practice these principles in all our affairs. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We're not saints, but all we got to do is be willing to try. And if we try, people, there's a better road ahead. I know that in my life. It's happened for me, and it'll happen for you. And he never leaves us. He's always with us. I've enjoyed being here. I'm proud of the birthday people. I'm looking forward to meeting those. And I want to close this thing now with a poem. I got my first sober New Year's in Alcoholics Now. It's special. It was special then, it's special now. And I hope it'll always be special. It goes something like this. It said, I dream one night I passed away and left this world behind. I started down that lonesome trail some friends of mine to find. I came to a signboard on the trail, the directions it did tell. Turn right to go to heaven. Turn left to go to hell. Well, I hadn't been too good on earth, just a hopeless boozing wreck. So I knew there at the crossroads the path I'd have to take. I started down that rocky path that leads to Satan's place. A fear within, not knowing just what I might have to face. Oh, Satan met me at the gate. What's your name, my friend? I said, I'm just old sober Frank who come to a very sad end. He glanced through some yellow files. There's been a mistake, I fear. You're an alcoholic. We don't want you here. I said, I'm looking for some friends, and a smile stole his face. If your friends are alcoholics, they're in the other place. So I turned and went the road I'd came to the crossroads I didn't see, and turned right to go to heaven, as happy as could be. St. Peter smiled and said, come in, for you I have a birth. You're an alcoholic. You've been through hell on earth. I saw old Dub and old Pete, too, Bill C. and a friend called Bill. And it sure did make me happy, because I thought they had gone to hell. So, friend, take warning. Learn something from my trip. You got a place in heaven if you try hard not to slip. And if someone offers you a drink when you're not feeling well, just tell him you're going to heaven, and he can go to hell.